CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you as we always are. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. And if you got a question, hey, today's your day. Give us a call. You know, maybe there's something you've been wondering about. You say, well, you know, I'd like to believe in God, but there's just this one problem I just can't get over. Hey, that's why we're here. Give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN, and we'll do our very best to answer those questions for you. You know, we live in a time of extreme disinformation, as we all know, whether it's the news, whether it's what comes over the internet, so much ideas that are not founded upon anything. And then you move into the spiritual realm, it even gets worse there. And so that's why the Bible says we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and how important it is that we know the entirety of God's word. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We have with us John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, Mike. Great to be with you on this terrific Tuesday here. And I'm excited about what you were sharing with me, even before we came on the air, about, well, there's some new frequencies, some new stations out there. I wonder if anybody's listening from those areas, if they'd call in.
Yeah, if you're in the El Centro area, Mexicali, we want to just welcome you listening, 88.1, as we turned on a new station and reaching a lot of the beach communities over by you, Oceanside and alike. So if you happen to be listening at 88.1, please let us know. We'd like to hear from you. As brand new, as we've got on the air there, parts of San Diego as well, I think it'll be really good. But we do know, I talked to the pastor at the Calvary Chapel there in El Centro, and he said, yeah, I'm out here in the parking lot listening to it. And so it's going to get, we're still doing some work on it. It's going to get a lot better than it is right now. But if you can hear it now, you're going to hear it a lot better in about another few weeks. And so just to let you know about that, 88.1 in the Southern California area, down from San Diego, beach cities, and out in the Imperial Valley. That's a place you can tune into. I know you'll enjoy it. And, of course, a new station that went on the air last week in Yucca Valley, California. And so lots of things going on. Just want to encourage you, tune in wherever you can. If you want to know where you or our stations are listed, you can go to csnradio.com, csnradio.com. Go for station locations. You can look it up. And then if you go over and click on the frequency, it'll pull up a map that shows you where you can hear us in that area, that what that station covers. It's really kind of neat. So check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. John, I think it's to the phones we go. We have James on the line in Corona, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, pastors. How are you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Pastor, I got a question for both you and John. You know, there are churches here in Corona where we're at. My wife works at one of the schools there. It's a Christian school. And she came home and said, hey, guess what? She goes, we're having Ash Wednesday tomorrow. I was like, you're having what? Ash Wednesday? And they said they want us to wear this shirt they gave them. They can either get ashes or get oil. And I was telling her, hey, you know, that's how people get messed up. This doesn't sound right. I said, for as long as I've been a believer in Christ, I left Catholicism, and they're going back to that stuff, which doesn't make any sense. You have an answer for that?
Well, yeah, I think it's always interesting that people turn to ritual rather than to God's word. You don't find Ash Wednesday in the Bible. You don't find the 40 days before all the things that happened to Jesus on the cross. You just don't find it. It's been made up. And, you know, the idea is in these 40 days, you get up something you really, you know, really like, and this somehow makes you something more. Now, we do know that, in times of fasting, as an example, there's that time in which God has said that if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But when we go to religious events outside of God's word, people are doing stuff that just really aren't there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike, what you said. It's a Catholic tradition. You don't find it in Scripture. You do find opportunities and times where Jesus said, it's interesting, Jesus said, when you fast, you know, when you do that, because some people during Lent, they give up something in order to try to gain some blessing from God. And you say, hey, would you like some? No, I gave that up for Lent. Well, how about that? No, I gave that up for Lent. Like, okay, first of all, you probably shouldn't be telling me that, because if you're giving up something you're fasting from, Jesus said, wash your face. He didn't say put ashes on it so everybody can see and go, oh, you must be, is that for Ash Wednesday? Or did you just forget to wash? Like, you're wanting people to see it. And then you're really losing any kind of reward that you might have received. So I think people do this. And the interesting thing, Mike, is I've known people who they get all the way up to Lent. And then once Lent's over, they party like it's nobody's business. I mean, we made it. And then they just go right back to doing everything else they were doing before Lent. That's a misunderstanding of what that means. So yeah, I would disagree with that. I don't know why that Protestant churches are picking up what the Catholics have done through the years and doing that. There is no, I don't find Jesus doing it. I don't find the apostles doing it. I don't find it taught in Scripture. I never see it mentioned in the epistles. So we can understand that that is a tradition that was instilled, not by the apostles in the Scriptures, Mike. And if you want to use like, well, they cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes, and you use that as a proof text, that's not a proof text for Lent participation. So I think it's important to have clarity. And James, I appreciate the question. I think it's important for us to go to the Word of God. What does God's Word say? In a Christian school, no less. Why are we doing this? And why are we letting people know? And I think it's you know, we're not really following Scripture when we begin to practice that.
Yeah. And so I hope that helps, James, because again, I don't know. You know, there's something about human nature that likes to say, look what I did. And there's nothing that we do to make ourselves righteous. Righteousness is a gift of God. We put on, Paul says, his righteousness. It's the same word you'd use to put on a coat. We're clothed in his righteousness. That's where our righteousness comes from. My righteousness does not come from worshiping on Saturday, not eating pork, being sealed in a temple. It doesn't come from ashes on my head 40 days before, 40 days after. None of those things. Our righteousness comes from Christ. And the minute that we begin to think, oh, look what I'm doing. I am getting so spiritual. I'm Captain Shiny Buttons. Oh, be careful, because your righteousness comes from God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, man, do you understand what that means? You're his child. My children doesn't have to come to me with ashes on their head for me to love them. I love them because they're who they are. And that's the glory of understanding the difference between religion and a relationship. Relationship is built on love. Religion is made from laws and obligations. Hope that helps, James.
I love you both. The Bible verse that came to mind was 1 Timothy 4:7. I'll let you guys go. Have a blessed day.
All right. James Taillon, if you like, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And again, I'm always amazed why people think they're gonna make something more spiritual. I always am amazed by that. Let's go to Daniel in Connecticut. Hi and welcome.
Hi there.
Good. How many we
have? With your permission, I have two questions. The first one being, in Luke 7, the story of the woman who pours the ointment over, the alabaster ointment over Jesus' feet. My understanding that it's Mary of Bethany. But also I've heard several commentators say that Mary was, this particular Mary, Lazarus' sister, was a prostitute. But I couldn't find that in the Bible. Do we know that to be true?
Okay, John, your thoughts.
Well, you know, there are two different occasions when Jesus was anointed on his feet. One was there, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13, where he was anointed at Bethany. And that's when he was there with Mary, Lazarus and Martha prior to his death. And she came in and anointed him, and she was criticized for anointing him by Judas. Of course, we come to find out, but Jesus said, she's done this for my burial. Later on, Mark also records that instance, and in Mark chapter 14, where Jesus was anointed, same thing. But then when you come to Luke's gospel, he's now not at the home of Simon the leper, is there Lazarus? This is the home of one of the Pharisees, it says in Luke chapter 7. So this is a different instance. And he goes into the Pharisee's house. Now he's in a different location with a different group, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she had learned that he was reclining there, brought an alabaster flask of ointment and standing behind him and weeping, and began to wet his feet with her tears, etc. And of course, the Pharisee saw what Jesus allowed to take place, and he criticized him. Jesus should have known. And of course, Jesus defended her. So I do not believe that those were the same people, but actually two different women, Mike, if I'm clear on that. One was a woman of the night, a questionable woman. The other was Mary, who was at the feet of Jesus the only three times that she's ever mentioned in Scripture. So she was always at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach, pouring out her burdens after her brother Lazarus had died. And then, of course, there in that final meal with him prior to his crucifixion.
And this is where we remember that she anointed him, and they were saying, "Ooh, if he was really a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman is touching him."
Right.
And this is where they come to the conclusion that she was probably a woman of the evening, if you will. And so that's why we understand it, because of the way the words are in the Greek. It appears that she was a woman of ill repute. So hope that helps.
Yeah, two different women, two different instances. They're not one and the same. So to answer the question, Mary of Bethany was not a prostitute. But as Mike said, because of the language in Luke's account of a woman coming and anointing the feet of Jesus in the home of the Pharisee, that is where they pick that up and suggest that she could have been that kind of a woman, Mike.
Daniel, I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's kind of what I suspected, because, like I said, I couldn't find it or cross references anywhere. The other one, if I may ask another question, it's regarding the Lord's Prayer. I've heard several commentaries on that about how a couple of things. I know some people don't call it the Lord's Prayer, but I always thought it was called the Lord's Prayer because it was possessive. He's the author of it. But anyway, I heard that, we're not supposed to recite it. You know, this is a model of prayer. And I understand that, but I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers that ever existed. So I was wondering if it's really more of a condition of the heart or the way it was prayed versus this kind of random rote, just slide it off your tongue without any heart or without any meaning, versus using those words to really, thy kingdom come, those beautiful words, to just reiterate those from a place of spiritual, entunement with our Father.
Daniel, you're right. And I believe that's true. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. It was a blueprint. This is really what our prayer should contain. When we come to our Father, God wants to hear what's on our heart. And if you break that down, as you look at the whole thing, our Father, which art in heaven, that's interesting, because our daddy that's in heaven, we're not childless. I mean, fatherless. We have a Father in heaven, which makes us all brothers and sisters in the Lord, which art in heaven, which means God's got a different view of the circumstances in our life than we do. I the old saying, I can't see the forest for the trees. Well, God's above the trees. He has a whole completely different perspective of life and our personal lives. And I love that. He's in heaven. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's all about God. It's doing it his will. And the Bible says, that we praise him when we come into his presence. And I think that's really important. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's praising him for who he is. I think that is so important. Then give us this day our daily bread. You don't break the whole prayer down. I don't have time to do that. But give us this day our daily bread. We remember that when Jesus would feed the 5,000, he would pray and he'd bless the food and break it. I look at that. If Jesus prayed over his meals, that's why we should. And so give us this day our daily bread, realizing our daily provision comes from God. But you say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, am I closer to God now? Oh, no, I got to do 20 more. Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven. It's just mindless. And if my children came to me and said, Daddy, will you buy me a bicycle? I want a bicycle really bad. Daddy, will you buy me a bicycle? I want a bicycle really bad. Daddy, will you buy me a bicycle? I want a bicycle. I'd say, what's wrong with you? And I'm sure that this idea of go say 15 Hail Marys, go say the Lord's Prayer 25 times, Jesus said, don't be like the heathen, that when they pray, they think they're heard for their much speaking. But when you pray in this manner. You pray with a heartfelt understanding of your Father. And just as you said, Daniel, it is a condition of the heart. You can say the Lord's Prayer every day, just the way it's written in the Bible, mean every word of it, and I think they're beautiful, sweet words. On the other hand, you can say the same words and they mean nothing. You can do that to your children. Oh, honey, I love you. Oh, honey, I love you. Oh, honey, I love you. It doesn't mean anything. See, it's all a condition of the heart. And unfortunately today, people rule out the heart, and all they look at is what is said. Any last thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree. Jesus said in that same chapter where that prayer is recorded, or that model for prayer, he said in verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do. So this wasn't to be vainly repeated, as you said, Mike, over and over and over again, multiple times. However, it's also important to remember that it is scripture. And we are to hide God's word in our heart. And I find myself to be encouraged when I read through that and have this memorized myself. I'm encouraged by the words, but I don't pray it as a vain repetition. But there are moments, I think, when it is appropriate. But it really is a model for us to follow. These are the elements that are to be seen when we pray, how we are to approach the Lord. But there's nothing wrong with reciting it if it comes from. Jesus said, there are those that draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It better to draw near to him with our heart and then our lips also, but so that we actually mean what it is we're praying. So it's a great question, and I think it's fine to say it as long as it's in the right spirit.
And I think the other prerequisite for that prayer is that, in fact, is God your Father? Have you been adopted by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, his blood on the cross? You see, God's not everybody's father. Those that have rejected him, the Bible talks about them of this world. But when we become born again, God adopts us by his Spirit. Jesus' blood washed away our sins, and now I'm restored to my Father's side. What the first Adam and Eve messed up, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, restored and put us in right relationship with our God again. So a person sometimes will say, well, I prayed the Lord's Prayer. Well, yeah, are you a Christian? If you're not, that's some kind of works that you're trying to do. The first prayer that we pray when we come to Christ, when we're not a believer, is really, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And the Bible says when we accept Christ as our Savior, we pass from death unto life. The problem is a lot of people make demands on God and they're not even his kids. It's like some kid walking up to you in the mall and saying, hey, mister, buy me a bicycle. Well, I don't know who you are. Who are you? I don't care who I am. Buy me a bicycle. But if your own child walked up to you and said, Daddy, would you buy me a bicycle? And you knew he could handle it and not ride it out in the street and get hit by a bus. Well, maybe, yeah, your birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll get you a bicycle. But that's the way a lot of people are. They make demands on God and they're not even his kids. The only time they want God is when they want something. Hey, listen, real love brings us to the master's side every day. And so I just want to encourage you and everybody. Hey, listen, it's about that sweet love that we have from God. Daniel, I hope that helps and answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you, gentlemen, and God bless.
Blessings to you. If you like, stay online, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. Let's go to Willie, Biloxi, Mississippi. Hi and welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How may we help?
I'm calling for prayer. I tell you what, I wonder if I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus when I die and leave this world. I never had a feeling like that before. I've been diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's. My memory, my spirit ain't like it used to be. And I'm worried. And it couldn't be done without the Lord. And I'm calling for prayer. And I pray and hope the Lord will accept me as his child. And I've got a feeling that in my heart, that of what I'm going through, that I won't be in heaven with you when I leave this world. And that worries me. Because all the time, I've always thought I would be with Jesus when I die and leave this world. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And I think what has occurred to me in my life, that I had a business and a guy who used to be a business partner, he heard me, took a whole bunch of money. I wouldn't even pay my tithes like I used to, my 10%. And that hurt me. And that's what got me another thing worried, whether I'm going to heaven. And it's just so much going on in my life right now. My wife needs
Willie, listen. We go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for us and loves us. Not because I paid tithes or didn't. Not because people were mean to me or they weren't. I go to him because Jesus loves us, loves you. And I can tell by the way you're talking, you have a love for God. And so I wouldn't worry about that. That is something that God has given you. He's surrounded you in his righteousness. Now you say, but Mike, I'm not this and I'm not that and I didn't do this right and I didn't. None of us have. If we could approach God on our performance, Jesus would have never had to die on the cross. The problem is we are all sinners, saved by grace. And I just want to encourage you right now that God loves you and has got the very best for you. Let God do what he wants to do in your life. Just rest in him. Because we can always get worried about all kinds of things. And yes, we will pray for you. John, your thoughts.
Yeah, Willie, I just want to encourage you, brother. The Bible tells us, and John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he said, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." The Apostle Paul adds in Romans chapter 10, there in verse 9, he said this, Willie, that if we confess, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and notice this, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the promise is you will be saved. Willie, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again from the dead for you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He died upon me, but on the third day, he came out of that grave, freed me forever.
Amen. And the Bible says, because you have confessed that and you believe that, Willie, I've got great news for you, brother. You are saved. You are on your way to heaven, and you don't have to fear. The Lord's got you, and you're going to be in his presence for eternity because of what he did on your behalf and on my behalf. You can have absolute confidence and certainty that you're going to be with the Lord, brother.
And you know, Willie, God knows our heart. And I know a lot of people that have had Alzheimer's and you know, some people, as they get older with their Alzheimer's, they become quite vile, people that love Jesus. God knows that we're not in our right mind. And that's part of a body that's under the curse. And this body doesn't work right. Now, sometimes our hands don't work right or our feet don't work right. Sometimes it's our brains don't work right, but you've given your life to Christ. And let me tell you something. You can rest assured in that God, because he loves you and because he died for you and doesn't want you to worry about, I'm afraid I'll forget God in my dementia or whatever. Don't worry about that. God's got that under control. He loves you. And you wouldn't have called today if you didn't love God. So that's something that we don't have to be fretting over. God loves you, and to rest in that. Can you do that, Willie?
I'm going to try my very best after getting the encouragement from you all.
Well, let's pray for you. Father, first, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for Willie's heart, that no matter what, he wants to be with you, as we all do. And I just ask you, God, that you would touch his mind, his ability to think. Father, God who heals, would you extend your healing hand to Willie right now? And Lord, correct whatever it is, so he would, first of all, be able to think clearly. And second of all, God, that he would never worry about whether or not you would love him if he can't remember. Lord, thank you that you understand our infirmities, the things that we have wrong with us. And I just ask you that you would just touch him, restore him, and give him that confidence, that assurance of salvation that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Willie, our prayers are with you, buddy.
Can you give me your Bible verses that you was reading out for me so I can write it down?
Yes, okay, sir. John. It was Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and also 1 John chapter 5, verse 13.
King.
Yes, sir. Those are for you, my brother. God bless you, and so thankful for your call today, and we'll be continuing to keep you in prayer.
Yeah, and Willie, just, you know, just keep your mind active. You know, a good thing to do is read your Bible every day. Give your mind something to think about in the off times. That's one of the things they say about older people is they just kind of get to a point where they don't want to learn anymore. And keep your mind active. And there's not a better way to do that than in God's Word. You keep reading. Stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs if you like, Willie. And again, thank God that we're all going to get to go to heaven, I believe, real soon. And we are coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more coming right up, right after this.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC. And we just want to encourage you once again, read your Bible every day. We're living in some pretty exciting times. Be about your Father's business. If you got a question you'd like to ask us, again, that phone number 8888 ask CSN's toll free, and you can be part of the program today. Going back to the phones, we had Willie on the line. And Willie, our prayers are with you, buddy. Keep up the good fight. Stay on the line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. God bless you. Let's go to Kay, Sheridan, Wyoming. Hi and welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
Are you there?
Yes, okay. We are.
This is kind of strange. So I have a girlfriend, and she was asking me a question. She had been baptized with her daughter, and I'm not sure when this was, but I'm thinking a long, long time ago, really long time. And at the time she was baptized with her daughter, she wasn't a Christian, but she got baptized with her daughter. So now she's since changed, and she's a very, very strong Christian. So she was asking me, since she got baptized back then, and she associates that if you're baptized, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, she asked me, was she filled with the Holy Spirit? Because at the time of her baptism, she wasn't a real believer, and she is now. So she's kind of concerned about that. She's not sure if she has the Holy Spirit. And I'm a good Christian, and I don't have a clue. I did not know how to answer her.
Well, the Bible says to repent and be baptized. And so if she had not repented and went through some ritual getting in the water, she probably wasn't baptized. Now, she sounds like she accepted Christ later on, but it sounds to me like she needs to be baptized. And of course, the Holy Spirit is who convicted her to let her know that, hey, even though you went in the water, you're not right with me. And so therefore, I would just encourage her to get rebaptized. Not, I shouldn't really say rebaptized, because she really wasn't baptized in the first place. She just got in the water. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, the whole purpose of baptism, as the scriptures reveal to us, and one passage you could read would be there in Romans chapter 6, but the purpose of baptism is not for salvation, but for identification. It is the outward demonstration to the world of the inward work of salvation. And so I go into the water. The old person is being symbolically buried with Jesus, who I used to be, buried with him in the grave, and then raised out of that water like I'm being raised with Jesus, a new creation. That's already happened to me when I received Christ, but this is the outward demonstration to the world that that's taken place. So I would encourage her to also go through the waters of baptism, and it's going to mean something to you because now you're born again. And so the question being, was the Spirit upon her back then? Not in the sense that it can be now as a Christian. As Mike said, the Spirit is with you. He's in you, but then he comes upon you. So I would say, be rebaptized, and it'll mean something. And you could bring your friends and bring people you know and say, listen, I want you to be there when I go into the water. And it symbolizes my faith in Christ. You know, Mike, when we have baptisms here and we have them on a regular basis, both fresh water and salt water, I ask them, why are you here? Why are you being baptized? And I give them opportunity to share their testimony. It's amazing what you hear. Because I want them to know why it is that they're going into the water. We're not just going out here to get wet. We're not just going out here to symbolically go through something. This has to mean something to you. It's no turning back. And so it's always a blessing to hear those testimonies.
Amen. So I hope that helps, Kay.
You guys are so wonderful. I listen to you every day, and you're in my prayers every day, and God bless you for what you do, because that does answer it. And I'm going to see her tomorrow, and I'm going to say, we got to go get you baptized. So thank you.
Because it says to repent and be baptized, not be baptized and then repent. And the order's wrong. See very quickly, in the Old Testament, and you might explain this to her, Kay, because then maybe she'll get a better understanding of it. In order to convert to Judaism, you would go to the priest, you would renounce your pagan deity, the Baals, the Astaroths, the worldly ways that we all lived. You would renounce that, you would embrace Yahweh as God, and then you'd take a ceremonial washing, symbolizing the old has been washed off of me. That's the idea. Very similar to when the children of Israel, being in slavery for over 400 years, when they went through the Red Sea as Moses was leading them, a type of baptism scouring off the slavery that they had endured for 400 years, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. Then another type of baptism, as they went through the Jordan River after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, of scouring off that wilderness experience, which I believe, as you mentioned, John, is a type of baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in water when we accept Christ as our Savior, and then God baptizes us in His Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul even says this in Acts chapter 19. He said, "Since you believed, have you been filled with the Spirit?" I think that's really an important question. And so I would just encourage her. I'd just say, you know, get rebaptized and say, "Lord, I want everything that you have for me in Jesus' name." And Jesus said this, "You being of the world know how to give your children good gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" I like that. Ask and you'll receive. Jesus said you don't have because you don't ask. So I want to ask and I want to say, "God, whatever you have, that's what I want." And let God do His perfect way in your and her life. Okay, I hope that helps.
Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you so much, and God bless you for all you do for us.
Stay on the line, dear. I'll send you out a book and some DVDs. I got a book you might want to give her called Time to Grow. I'll send that to you, and just have her look through it. I think she'll really enjoy it. And movie Jesus, a couple other things. Stay on the line. We'll get those out to you and share them with your friend. Let's go to Dora, Mount Vernon, Illinois. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Last night, the Lord showed me where a little girl, rabbit, had committed suicide. And it really had, the Lord wanted me to let everyone know that we are all like snowflakes. There's never no one like each one that is created by the true God, Jesus Christ, that robed in skin and came to earth and became a man. And I love your program. I didn't even know how to get to it, but Jesus let the knobs turn to your program by me picking up the radio when I didn't even know I was going to be on your hearing from your Christian satellite network. And I'm telling you, the Lord said, "You tell people that each one is special. There's no one like them. They are supposed to be sick in head from the time they take their first breath on from heaven down to earth, becoming human beings. And they're not supposed to take their eyes off of Jesus all their life long. But in the reality world, the devil pulls us and tries to give in to the devil. And each child is being created. It's created for one other person. A sperm will never be an egg, and an egg will never be a sperm. And we're not to debate with no one. The fear of God is everything we need to pray. Jesus Christ, fear of God, come on them. And me too when I do wrong." And I'm telling you, these children need to be told this all the time. Don't look for no one. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for you, when you get going through puberty, you'll know you're made for each other. And this is so big. The attitude of the heart is everything. If people want more of Jesus, the real God, and his name is Jesus. The name over heaven, earth, and under the earth is his Jesus. If God.
Amen. It is. John, you know, your thoughts on that.
Well, I would say Psalm 139, verse 14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." I would agree with our friend that called there that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nobody like you. God made you unique. You know, Mike, sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that, you know, there should be two of somebody else and none of them. That's not the case. God loves us individually. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's important to remember that He loves you. And maybe you're one of those people listening today and you feel insecure about who you are. Listen, let your identity be found in Jesus Christ. Find yourself in Him, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Amen. Did you have a question?
Well, what I was going to say, it's don't speak negative words, because when we do, you give the devil room to come in and attack you. Speak life words all the time, and it will be life in your life for Jesus Christ taking care of you through all your life. And believe and receive, and don't ever doubt and do without. I did not know you was calling me back, and Jesus is telling me what to speak, because I'm 78 and a half and over, and I didn't even know about rhema coming from heaven. When you speak things from him, if you fake it and say, think what you're going to say, it's you. But when it comes from rhema, you don't even know what's coming out of your mouth by the anointing. I mean, I'm just finding this out in the last 2 years or so, and I'm telling you, I go Wendy's and places to eat, and these young people know it already, and the Lord said, because I'm raising the veil off this world. To see the
well, sometimes it is true when we share with people, the Lord will impress us to say certain things that address the issues in that person's heart. I think as a pastor, John, you've had this happen. I know I've had it happen, that in a sermon illustration, I've actually had people come up after the service and said, who called you and told you about that problem in my life? I said, nobody. Well, no, you described it to the letter. No, somebody called you and told you. I said, no. And it's really amazing. John, have you ever had that happen? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is it's happened more than once. And did my wife call you? No, I didn't hear that. Nobody called. It's just the Holy Spirit. I think, you use the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and God uses his word. And God uses his word as we present the word, as we present the truth, it accomplishes the purposes that God has set forth for it. It doesn't return void. And I find great comfort in that and encouragement knowing that that God is using his word to speak to people.
Amen. Well, Dora, stay on the line and send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll really, really enjoy. And again, thanks for the encouragement. I think we all need to be encouraged. Let's go to Lisa, Montrose, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I just got a question about the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
It drives me crazy. I've been saying this since I was young, and it's lead us not into temptation. And I kept thinking that the Lord, that God doesn't tempt us. And so I kept thinking, why does it say lead us not? And, I'm Googling stuff, and I'm going, no, I'm going to call y'all and see what your explanation would be, because I really appreciate y'all's y'all's program, and I'm just confused about why it's worded that way.
Well, it's because it comes across from the Greek into the English in a little bit difficult manner there, but it's really God, do not allow us to be led into temptation, realizing that God has the ultimate hand on everything. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree with that. That I was thinking about, James tells us, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, because God cannot tempt anyone to do evil. But each man is drawn away by his own desire. And when that desire has conceived, it brings forth death. So God doesn't lead us into temptation. In fact, Paul tells us in writing to the Corinthians, he said that with every temptation, God always provides the way of escape so that we may be able to bear it. The devil is the one that tempts. The Lord allows us to be tested, but the devil is the one that would make it into a temptation. And Mike, I can't help but think of Jesus being led into the wilderness where he was being refined and so forth. But the devil showed up and tempted him to do things outside of God's will. And Jesus' response every time was, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that is how he overcame temptation. So I think it's important that you make that distinction in the language as it comes across. God doesn't lead us into temptation. We're the ones that end up leading ourselves into it. And so we need to, Lord, give me your help so that I don't end up in temptation, because I know in our weakness, we're prone to that.
Amen. I hope that answers it for you.
Lead is just a bad word. Okay. All right. Or bad translation. Thank you.
God bless you. And again, we have to understand that being led or being enticed, God keep the enticement, keep us from being led into these things that are bad for us. Because there's a real live devil and a real live enemy of your soul. And we must always remember that. But greater is he that's in us, Jesus Christ, than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. Lisa, stay on the line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy with that. We'll go to Carlos, Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, guys.
Hi, welcome. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just a
good.
Question.
How may we help?
Yeah, so whenever I like to, you know, kind of bring up a good talking point about the gospel, I like to use the, you know, what year are we in? You know, 2025 what? A.D., right? And then I'm like, after whose death? But lately, somebody's been kind of just making me think about, you know, the B.C., B.C.E., and the Gregorian calendar and all that, and I just kind of wanted your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, of course, it's dated from Christ. There's no other explanation for it. Your thoughts?
I would agree with that. B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, the Latin phrase there. That means in the year of the Lord. So I think people want to, you know, we're living in a day and age, Carlos, and I know, Mike, you know this as well, where people want to redefine essential doctrines of the Christian faith. They want to rebrand it, rephrase it, say that it means something. God didn't actually mean that when he said this. I mean, we're constantly being bombarded with that. And for us, we just have to, we stick to the truth, regardless of what the culture says, regardless of what the world is telling us. What does God's word say? That is the authority. Jesus said, your word, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so I'm not surprised that people would say those kinds of, they say those kinds of things all the time, especially about scripture. But it's interesting, Mike, that originates with the devil. You remember the devil was the one who's the first false teacher. He was the one that said, did God really say that? God didn't mean that. I mean, we're in Genesis 3 and it's already false teaching. So it's always been with us. There's always liars out there. He's the father of lies. And so we're just aware of it. But we just, you handle the truth and the truth sets you free.
Amen. Carlos, hope that helps.
Yeah, that was a quick answer. Thank you. But what about like the Gregorian calendar? Is that like a Christian-based kind of calendar or?
The Gregorian calendar. That's a really good question. Mike, do you use the Gregorian calendar? Do you, Mark, use that?
Well, I think that's the calendar we all are using. And again, it goes back to that event of Jesus Christ. And now, of course, if you go to North Korea, it's a completely different year based upon one of their leaders' birth or something. It's real crazy stuff. But globally, we have that. Now, when we go into Israel, though, they have a different calendar. Tell us about that one, John.
That's good. I don't know which calendar you're referring to. You got to help me out there.
Well, I believe it's the year 5800, and I'll have to look it up. But many of the Jewish calendars will have that year written down going back to the beginning of time. So it's interesting about that, but I hope that sheds a little bit of light on it.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You got me curious. I'm trying to look up and see what year. Can you look that up, John? You got a computer there in front of you.
What is the question?
What is the Jewish year right now?
The Jewish year today?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
We're going to look this up because we want to, because we can.
Oh, it's 5785. There you go.
Yeah, 5785. So hope that gives you some insight on that. But yes, we're based on the Gregorian calendar. I hope that.
I mean,
helps.
The last time I checked, Mike, I think today's March 4th. I mean, that's what I know. That's what I know for sure. Today's March 4th. But I get what he's saying. You know, you get these questions out there and trying to.
Well, here's where the problem comes in. It's this them trying to change BC to be before Common Era. That is all junk. And that is trying to move away from the established calendar that almost the entire world observes. And they're trying to interject that to remove Christ from being the focal point of our calendar. And so this is another trick, but just be aware of it, Carlos. Mm. I hope that helps.
Thank you so much, brothers. I just pray that you guys continue in your ministry. God bless, and thank you so much.
Yeah, now, did you have any other questions?
That answers it for me. That's kind of all I had on my mind lately. Thank you.
All right, bro.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. And again, and so everyone knows, you know, we have different dates throughout the Bible. This is what a lot of people say, well, why are all those boring begats in the Bible? Well, that helps establish time and what happened in those time periods. And then we read about how the children of Israel were in Egypt for over 400 years. And the Bible calls it four generations. Now, it's interesting because there you have a generation being over 100 years old. Now, the Bible also talks about the generation that wandered in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe the promises. They weren't allowed to go into the promised land, but their children were. And that generation was between 38 and 40 years old. Then we find David talking about the generation of a man. The Bible tells us about 70 years. Now, there's people that live past 70, and I know David understood that as well. But the general consensus is around 70 years. And yeah, people live longer than that. Believe me, when you do, you feel every joint in your body. So you want to be aware of that. But Carlos, I hope that sheds a little bit more light on it for you. And again, thanks so much for the call, okay? Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, all right? God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. So, John, very quickly, the calendar. Your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as our calendar goes, we've got some exciting things coming up right around the corner, right? We've got Good Friday. We got, I'm excited. I'm really excited for Passion Week. We're getting closer to it and excited about that. And, you know, right now we've been going through, well, we're just in the middle of 2 Peter. We were dealing with false teachers this last week. And it was interesting. We kind of were diving into something that obviously there are cults that surround us and we're aware of that. But things that are a little more subtle, Mike, that we've been kind of becoming more and more aware of are things like the progressive Christianity. And we were highlighting some of those things that actually mark progressive Christianity, and or as they call it. I mean, I wouldn't even call it Christianity, talking about progressive Christianity, especially when you look at their tenets of their quote unquote faith. They deny the inerrancy of Scripture. They deny so many other things. And but we were just kind of highlighting some of those points. For example, one was a very low view of Scripture. And we were citing that the reason why some people can't recognize progressive Christianity is because, well, they haven't read the Bible, and are they in a place where they're not teaching the Bible? So when these subtle false teachings make their way in, it's hard for people to discern it. And they'll hear things like, well, the Bible's a human book, or say things like, well, I disagree with the Apostle Paul on that. And the Bible contains the Word of God, but we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And so we were just trying to equip the believers to really know what we believe and why we believe it, Mike.
Yeah, and we actually had a question here on Every Man Answer last week where someone says, my relative or friend, whatever it was, said that that homosexuality isn't wrong. Paul said it was the rest of the Bible, but the gospel is only Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I said, well, I said very clearly, if you read, Jesus did address homosexuality. And it was done in a three-word sermon called Remember Lot's Wife and what that was all about. Now, then when you go back to Genesis, you realize what the problem was with not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but then what was wrong with Lot's wife as well. That she looked back, her heart was still in the city of wickedness. And so because of that, this is what creates a lot of the problems and the trying to change that. Now, you hear this term progressive a lot within the Christian movement. You hear it a lot in politics. Oh, well, they're a progressive. And that sounds kind of good. You know, you're going somewhere. No, when you hear in the news, oh, they're a progressive, they're progressing in their minds away from the Constitution to communism or socialism. So progressivism in the political realm is moving towards socialism or communism. It isn't progressing anywhere. It's regressive. And they need to call it that. But see, again, there's a spin on everything. So when you hear progressive in the Christian world, well, we're moving away from the Bible to the age of enlightenment, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. John, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say some of the things that to watch out for, especially if you're a listener and you're thinking, well, what exactly is progressive Christianity, John? And I would say things to be aware of. One, a low view of Scripture. And the second, you know, sometimes using letting the culture interpret the Bible rather than letting the Bible speak into the culture. Something you should be aware of. Mike, another thing that comes up quite often is feelings are emphasized over facts. It's opinions tend to be valued more than objective truth. And that's why we got to stay in the Word of God. And that's why I'm thankful for programs like this right here on CSN.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what's wrong with our son. Well, I feel like a girl today. I feel like a cat today. Got to be careful.
No.
Feelings are neither right nor wrong. They're just there. Be careful of those things. Go by the factualness of God's word. John, thanks for being on the program. Look forward to being back with all of you tomorrow. So until then, God keep you in his love. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.